This month is dedicated to the theme vision. And last time we had an opportunity to talk about the mission, the vision, and the covenant of this congregation. And this morning we want to talk about vision in more individual terms, but still keeping in mind that we are part of something larger than ourselves. We are part of this community. So what comes up to your mind when you hear the term vision quest?
Going into the wilderness and not eating for a few days.
Going into the wilderness and not eating for a few days. That's my sermon right there.
Mind-altering substances and dreams.
Mind-altering substances and dreams. All right. Seeking new truth for our lives.
Mindfulness.
Seeing.
Hope. Walking with someone else in their shoes.
Have you ever embarked on a vision quest? Anybody? A few of you have. If you'd like to share, why did you do it? What possessed you to go on a vision quest? In a word or two.
Pain.
Healing.
Seeking a new vision.
For your life.
I was retiring and needed to leave the busyness of work behind me.
Retiring and needing to leave the busyness of work behind you. Yes. Amen. Anybody else?
Retiring,
yes. Yes.
Help for the homeless.
Invisible force. That's deep. Yeah. There are so many ways that we can seek enlightenment, new visions, separating ourselves from the everyday busyness of life. So many ways of allowing ourselves to develop a more clear vision of what we desire, and to find our purpose, to really search our hearts, taking the time and creating the space to listening. As an anthropology scholar, I learned that in virtually every culture, there are rituals that invite us to engage in vision quests, in transformative experiences. In certain places, the vision quest is connected to perhaps a rite of passage for youth, where the young ones leave their parents' home, leave their familiar surroundings, go away from the city and enter perhaps a forest, that wilderness. They experience hunger. Maybe they're disoriented for a little bit and they have to face some challenges from the elders. And then when they come back, they have a different sense of self and they have a deeper connection to the community. So this vision quest is seeking wisdom and also seeking approval and a reorientation to the world. It places us, body, mind, and spirit, within a special time and place. And while the challenges are faced by the individuals, what happens simultaneously is that after the separation, there is a re-aggregation. We add ourselves, we welcome ourselves renewed into our beloved community. Having lived through an experience together, the return to the village, to their homes, to their families, is accompanied by a sense of deep connection and a sense of belonging. So vision quests can be solitary or walking with others, more communal. In the Mayan tradition, the sweat lodge called Temazcal is one way that individuals engage in a communal cleansing of the body, mind, and spirit. Entering a cave that resembles the womb, becoming vulnerable to the feelings that come up and to the messages that we receive while participating within community. Inside the Temazcal, the shaman's chanting becomes the conduit of divine energy. Inside the cave, there in the dark, shoulder to shoulder with others, we sit around the hot stones in the ground, known as the abuelitas, the ancient grandmothers. The water sizzles at it as it is poured over the hot stones, and you sweat. You sweat a lot. Sometimes you feel like you can't even breathe. Sometimes, even before it begins, you want out. So as we sit there in the dark, listening to the sizzling rocks, we inhale the copal incense, which is a resin from a tree, and people are invited to set their intentions. And we try throughout the ritual to release our fears. And that is so hard that we just want out. But we stay open for the birth of that new vision, of the new ideas, new ways of being, new ways of healing that we are longing for. In the process, we might experience fear and just sheer panic as the heat rises and the time seems to go very slowly. At times, we want to run out of there. But if we give ourselves the chance to enter in a meditative state, to fight back the urge to flee from the heat, from the darkness, from ourselves, we might find some messages. We might find that vision or just a sense of peace. Andrea Rice describes the Temazcal. She says, Temazcal is not about punishing ourselves with extreme endurance so we can repent for our sins. It is about opening up to receive ancient spiritual medicine, to move past the point of resistance so we can heal past wounds, to bring all that stuff up that we've spent our lives suppressing, bring it up to the surface, offer it up to the universe. It is about bravely stepping out of safety and forward into growth, leaving our fears in the dust. Pilgrimage is also a type of vision quest. Whether you have hiked a mountain, traveled the road to Santiago in Spain, made a hajj to Mecca, sought to connect with your ancestors in a faraway land, walked along the many pilgrimage sites in India, or sought refuge in your own backyard under the stars, sitting around the fire, listening to the crickets, or whether you brought yourself to a detox facility or a sobriety meeting, you opened yourself up to being vulnerable, to expressing your feelings, to reaching out into the unknown, and you tried to listen with your heart wide open in the face of the mystery that is life, in the wilderness that invited you to face your fears, your contradictions, your buried dreams and hopes that you never got a chance to breathe life into. Anthropologist Maria Lugones writes that pilgrimage provides ways to witness faithfully and to convey meaning against that which is oppressing us. pilgrimage provides ways to witness faithfully and to convey meaning against all of that which is oppressing us. It is a form of resistance and of experiencing the liberation of exploring our own feelings, our own desires, beliefs, and to keep a focus on that resistance, enabling us to exercise a sense of freedom, a sense of finding our own true selves. She says that sometimes it's not how far one travels, but how one moves within the complexities of our lived experiences. When we choose to move within the context of communal liberation, we loosen the hold of institutional, structural oppressions. We gain new understandings of possibilities for relating to each other and practice creating liberating spaces as we build this beloved community. I would propose that even our gatherings here in this place can become a temazcal, right? A focal point, a place where we can reconstitute ourselves, reaggregate ourselves into community time and time again. For after all, this is our community of choice, a place of resistance, a place of healing, a place of love and transformation, a place where our diverse needs, desires, and values give shape to spiritual wholeness and deeply meaningful connections, a place which requires ingenuity and constant creativity in the way we relate to each other and enrich our practices of radical hospitality. As people shared during our water ceremony a couple of weeks ago, you come to this place where people know your name, where we find companionship, where we can count on people supporting us, where there is a commitment to common values, because we believe that another more loving and more just world is possible. There are so many doorways into our soul. How many are we willing to open? In everyone, there is a promise of more light, of new truths being revealed, new discoveries about ourselves, new opportunities for reflection, for new questions that unleash our creativity and strengthen our connection to our spiritual selves and to the beautifully complex worlds that we inhabit. So given the opportunity for a vision quest, what door of your heart would you knock on? Take a moment. Envision those doors that have been closed for a long time, and I'm sure for good reasons. What are the doors that might give you an opportunity for more light? Is there a place that you long to visit within yourself? Have you been missing your whole true self? You are not alone as you open the door. You are not alone as you face your fears. You are part of something larger than yourself, part of the universe, and part of this loving community. Feel that love on the other side of that door. Feel the fear melting away. In the warmth of community, feel the fear melting away.
see that on the other side of the door is your own reflection, your beautiful self, our beautiful imperfect selves, rushing to greet you, embrace you completely, unconditionally.
Rumi tells the story of a man who was crying, "Allah, Allah." His lips grew sweet with the praising, "Allah, Allah," until a cynic said, "So, I have heard you calling out, but have you ever gotten a response?" The man had no answer to that. He quit praying and fell into a confused sleep. In his dreams, he saw Kadir, the guide of souls, in a thick green foliage, who said to him, "Why did you stop praying? Why did you stop?" He said, "Because I never heard anything back." And he said, "This longing you express, this crying out, is your message. The grief you cry out from draws you toward union. Your pure sadness that wants help is the secret cup. Our longing is the connection. Our longing is the connection." What do you long for? What do you cry out for? Hold that just for a few seconds. Hold that with tenderness. That is holy. That is part of you. Often we embark on vision quests seeking answers, feeling lost or at a crossroads, hungry and thirsty for a sign towards the right path, or just a different one that we're on. Basically, we're seeking hope. Here's another story. Nasruddin rode the train to work every day. One day, as usual, the train conductor came and asked him for his ticket. He began fumbling around in his coat pockets, his pant pockets, and then in other people's pockets. He looked in his briefcase, in his bags, and then in other people's bags. And finally, the conductor said, "Nasruddin, I am so sure you have a ticket. Yes, you do. Why don't you look for it in your breast pocket? Isn't that where most people keep it? Isn't that where you usually keep it?" "Oh, no. Oh, no," said Nasruddin. "I can't look there. I cannot look there. Why, if it wasn't there, I would have no hope." Maybe Nasruddin didn't want to look in the right place for his ticket. The equivalent of searching our hearts, facing our fears. Maybe he was afraid that it might really be lost. What might Nasruddin's ticket represent to you? If the purpose of the vision quest is to see more clearly, to find answers, to confront and let go of our fears,
why might we avoid looking deeply and directly at the place where it might be? Where might your ticket be found? And what dangers might that present? What fears come up? It can be life-saving to give yourself permission to dig deep into that pocket, into your heart, to experience a direct contact with your own true self and the divine at the same time. To reaffirm the presence of hope, of love, of joy, essential elements for the journey we call life. It can be life-saving to feel connected and to feel that you belong, that people know your name. It is my belief that the toughest quest is connecting to our true selves, especially because we are always unfolding, always changing, always becoming, and we come up with our own reflection when we open those doors. Fearing what might be or not on the other side. It is my belief that opening ourselves to vulnerability in order to connect with others in community is ultimately our quest to feel a sense of true belonging. In Brené Brown's book, Braving the Wilderness, she writes about the quest for true belonging. She says that not belonging is one of the most dangerous, painful hurts. Not belonging has the power to break our hearts, our spirit, and our sense of self-worth. She conducted research and asked people what they were trying to achieve. What were they worried about? They said they wanted to be part of something. People time and time again answered, "We want to experience real connection with others." Brown linked this sense of spiritual yearning and longing to the need to feel trust. Trust is the key element in being able to connect with ourselves and each other. And she came up with an acronym, BRAVING, which stands for boundaries. You respect my boundaries. And when you're not clear, you ask. You are willing to say no. Reliability, you do what you say you'll do. Accountability, you own your mistakes, apologize, and make amends. Vault, you don't share information or experiences that are not yours to share. Integrity, you choose courage over comfort. I want to repeat that. Integrity, you choose courage over comfort. And non-judgment, I can ask for what I need. You can ask for what you need. And ultimately, generosity. You extend the most generous interpretation possible to the intentions, words, and actions of others. Braving, she says, is the key to true belonging. She says, I don't know what it is about the combination of those two words, true belonging, but I do know that when I say it aloud, it just feels right. It feels like something that we all crave and need in our lives. We need to be part of something, but we need it to be real, not conditional or fake or constantly up for negotiation. Belonging is not something external, but something we carry in our hearts. When we are feeling utterly alone, braving the wilderness of uncertainty, vulnerability, and criticism, we are still connected to something greater than ourselves. We are connected to each other by unconditional love, by compassion. Beloveds, out of the wilderness, we have arrived to this, our chosen spiritual home, our beloved community. We are all seekers,
pilgrims, always becoming, always unfolding on the quest for authenticity and deep connection. Our place of convergence, this beloved community, is not a destination, but a shared journey offering us plenty of opportunities to practice braving the wilderness. When we are willing to brave the wilderness, we let go of perfectionism. We let go of old expectations. We let go of desiring approval. We let go of pretending authenticity. We bring our whole beautifully imperfect selves and know that we will be welcomed and loved unconditionally. When we embark on a vision quest and brave the wilderness, we are both alone and connected to each other by our love. When we enter a special time and place, that proverbial temazcal, which represents the heart of our beloved community, we might realize that here in the darkness, we are not alone. Breathing in, breathing out, conspiring with one another, creating a sacred space and time together around the sacred stones, alone with our fears and yet leaning on each other, shoulder to shoulder, offering each other a ticket towards unconditional love for ourselves, for each other, on a road paved with compassion. Beloveds, may we all find here the grace to forgive ourselves and each other, the strength to begin our quest for true belonging again and again, always in the name of love. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.